Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 47, John Lawson. This guy is something else. Get ready, get ready, get ready. If you've seen him speak, if you've heard him speak, you've felt the excitement, the show. John is a storyteller, and he tells a great story. And what I like about this segment is we actually get to talk about John, his backstory, which I did not know. And, you know, he's a pretty interesting, well-educated guy. And I like the way he speaks, his candor and his openness and his willingness to talk about himself. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and let me see how I'm going to try a different introduction. Let's listen for a second. Let's see if, what is that? What's that? Who is that? Anybody get it yet? Anybody getting an idea who it could possibly be? That's not me singing. Could that be John Lawson? Is that a good introduction? Welcome, John.
How are you?
I am really well, man. I appreciate you taking the time. When I saw you in Chicago and the Beyonce was cranking to the roof, the lights were flicking, I'm like, oh my God, this is a rock show. This is really incredible. And it was incredible. I mean, what you talked about was so relevant and so, you know, I guess timely is another way to say relevant. It's so current. And, you know, I interviewed a guy last night who's 25 years old, and he's going to do, him and his brother together did 6 point or 7 point something million last year in sales. And he told me, he said, Steve, I've helped bring 2,000 products to market. I had to stop him there, and I said, wait a second, how old are you? Well, I just turned 25.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, right? This world that you and I are living in, and I'm a little older than you, I mean, it's just incredible. It's incredible. I mean, you must be blown away, and you've been selling a long time. So you've seen it from the beginning now to what it is today. So I want to get into all that, but I want to go way back, John. So you started selling in about 2001, I guess it was.
Yeah.
What were you doing before then?
I was a consultant for Accenture.
Now, what is that?
It used to be Anderson Consulting.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, it's an IT consulting firm, and it's one of the big boys out there.
So you were working with clients all around the world, or did you have a specialty, a niche?
I worked with one specific client that was AT&T? Yeah, it was AT&T back then.
Okay, and what did you do?
It actually was Bell South back then.
Wow, that's really dating yourself, the Bells.
All kinds of stuff, man. Like every 2 years, I changed jobs. But most of the times I was working on number porting. And number porting is basically being able to take your phone number, because people, you know, we take it for granted now that you can have, you know, your phone number go from your iPhone over to your house phone and then back over to a different phone. If you buy a Droid, you just move that phone number with you. That's called normal, you know, phone portability. And that was put into, it was actually a law that was passed that a phone company no longer could own that phone number, and the actual person was able to keep their own phone number. So it was a whole lot of things that we had to do to make that work. And that's what I used to support. Prior to that, I supported Y2K, of course. There was a whole lot of IT work around Y2K.
So are you a programmer by education?
Not at all, man. I don't program anything, but I was a project manager.
Okay, so you've got the big picture. You hired the techies, and you manage the techies and try to corral them.
Exactly.
And try not to get buffaloed by them. That's what they usually tell me, all these things. Oh, Steve, you don't understand. Well, you think, yeah, I do. I'm a little more educated than you think.
Yeah, just a little.
Y2K was a crazy experience. I remember the company I was working for at the time. We gave them a 6 months salary stay bonus, and they all took it. I mean, of course. And then the day after they got their bonus, they were all gone.
Yeah, it was hard to keep people around that time.
So that information, that experience, that education in the business world there, you brought it 2001. How did you bring it to market? What did you do with it then?
Well, I mean, you know, my story is that I wouldn't call myself an accidental entrepreneur, but I was definitely an accidental business owner because I was about to go bankrupt and I needed to find a way to make some more money.
Okay, and why were you about to go bankrupt, if you don't mind getting a little personal?
No, I mean, the thing was, I mean, if you go back to that time, you know, the big thing was, you know, flip a house. Everybody was buying real estate and flipping it, and so I had good credit, and a guy came to me, a friend of mine. He's like, yeah, we should buy a house over in, like, this area of Atlanta that was under that gentrification possibility. And so mm-hmm. we purchased the house. I was not the hustler in that, you know, partnership. I was just the money guy, you know. I was like, okay, well, I'll sign for it, and, you know, you get it together, and we'll flip it. So we were supposed to flip it. 90 days later, I did a walkthrough of the house, and they had messed it all up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a total disaster. My hard money loan was about to run out. I had a balloon payment of, I don't know, like 120 grand, and I had no way in hell of getting that. And it was about to flip into a different loan where it was going to be like crazy money every month, and it was just going to kill me.
So that comes up. You say, hey, I've got an idea.
That comes up, and somebody told me, hey, you know, you can sell stuff on eBay. And I was like, oh, I'll try that. And I tried it, and it kind of started working. And once it started working, I just caught the bug. I mean, I was ready for everything.
Were you still working full-time in your other job, too?
Absolutely.
Or were you...
I did not leave my full-time job until 3 years later.
Okay, so you were side hustle cubed almost, right? I mean, you were giving it everything you got because you had to get out of this situation.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, at some point I started really like, man, I could do this and I don't have to do what I was doing 8 hours a day for somebody else. My thought was if I could spend that 8 hours on my own business, I could really amp this up. And so it became a mission for me to get away from my job. And I had to think about it because a lot of us, you know, there's a difference between running a business and having a job.
Oh, there's no question.
You know, and so I had a second job. That's what I was at that time. And in order for me to leave my first job, I had to figure out how to create a second entity that would replace my income for my job while I made that transition. And so I started doing a whole nother thing on the side of my, you know, eBay business.
Okay. So you were technically, you had a full-time job. You had the eBay business. Now you start another job?
Yeah.
Another business.
Well, I mean, I decided that I did the research and I was like, okay, you know what? I can probably sell t-shirts and all this kind of stuff with a heat press. So I went out and bought a heat press, and I was going to start a business making keychains and coffee mugs and T-shirts and all this kind of stuff. Just laughing. But anyway, I bought the heat press. I started, you know, I mean, I had some capital laid aside. I knew I needed, you know, 30, 60, 90 days of float cash. So, but somebody asked me to make a mouse pad for him, and I made the mouse pad. It was very popular, so I was like, hey, let me throw that on eBay. And I threw that on eBay, and that sold like crazy. I started making a whole bunch of different mouse pads, and that business was the one that allowed me to leave my job.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you were, what were you selling prior to the mouse pad on eBay? Just anything and everything, or did you have a specialty?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I used to do, actually, the funny thing is, back then, we used to do Amazon flips, because Amazon was trying to build their business in the retail space. They had been, you know, a book and media company, and they were trying to break in and do all these other products. So Amazon themselves used to stock and inventory a lot of products. And when they used to get rid of that stuff, they would get rid of it. And so we were really good at finding the deals on Amazon and flipping them on eBay.
That's so funny. And it's come full circle, right?
It's come full circle.
You created a process. Were you guys shipping everything right out of your house, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a pretty big operation for a full-time income. And then comes along into the mouse pad world. Did you expand into other product lines, or were you just making mouse pads in a zillion different patterns and shapes and stuff?
Yeah, I'm doing both still. I didn't want to take the money out of the business with the eBay Amazon flip, because you need the capital. I needed the capital, right? So if it had to pay me, I wouldn't have as much money to throw into products, and that would just start, you know, drying up some of my sales. So I didn't want to do that. So I did the mouse pad thing on the side just to pay me. So, yes.
Were you selling those retail then too? I guess I'm misunderstanding. So you were selling them for Joe's Coffee House too? Or is eBay the only place you sold them?
Yes. We just created a secondary eBay business that was, you know, made out of the mouse pads.
And that's how you got your income. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's how I paid me.
Okay. So what was the lesson there? I mean, looking back at that, would you do something different? I mean, what I'm trying to do is bring that forward to today. There are people that have a full-time job that are probably getting a little tired of it because, you know, corporate America is tough in some ways, right? And they're thinking about, hey, I'm doing okay with this eBay or this Amazon business, right? I'm buying – let's just use Amazon, for example, right? They're buying retail arb and they're selling it and they're making some money. And they would love to make the leap, but they're in the same position that, you know, Amazon is such a capital-intensive business. What would you recommend based on your experience?
I mean, you got to plan for it. You know, this just because I'm sick and tired of the work and all that, and I could do this, and blah, 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 you know, I mean, that's a great dream, but at some point you need a plan. And so I sat down and I wrote down all of my expenses, and I knew exactly how much I needed to make per hour for me to sustain my quality of life, you know, and mm-hmm. not. And what I realized was that there were a lot of expenses that I had that went along with me just going to work. I had to buy clothes. I had to get my clothes clean. I had to buy lunch every day. I had to pay for parking, gas. All of these things, once I started writing it down, I'm like, you know, about 20%, 25% of everything I make goes back into me just getting to work, you know? And it was like, wow, what I thought I needed a whole lot less. And it's like, you know, hey, I could eat peanut butter sandwiches every day for breakfast and lunch if I have to, because I was going to make the sacrifice. But putting that down on paper, having a plan was very important for me, so I knew how to build that bridge. And I remember I was scheduled to leave on February of 2004. February 2004, that's when I said I was going to do it. And that day came around, I don't remember, or that month came around, and things weren't totally right. It wasn't set up. I wasn't feeling it. And I didn't end up leaving until September of that year. But
okay, so you held on even longer to really get secure.
Yeah, to get that security. I stayed around longer.
That's great advice. So come up with a plan. And I, like you say, you can – there's two ways to attack it, right? Grow revenue and reduce expense. And as you're saying, that 20% of your expense really went away on their own. You didn't even really have to sacrifice that 20%. It just was it was a cause and effect of your business job.
Absolutely.
And so that goes away.
That's absolutely cool. And like I said, you know, I knew I needed – I think part of that was I knew I needed that cushion of 2-3 months of capital. And so I was putting that away. I was nest egging that.
Now, did you have employees or partners or anything back then?
I mean, it was just me and my partner.
Okay. And so you make the leap in September. You go full time.
Yes.
And you're on it. You're still selling. Now, are most of what you're selling now become mouse pads, or are you still selling the other stuff too?
No, we're still selling the other stuff. We're still selling the other stuff.
Okay. So now you go forward. Take us from there.
And then, well, you know, then my spouse decided that he wanted to leave his job. And that was kind of like threw a monkey wrench in my whole plan. So I'm like, really? Seriously? So it's like, okay, just go ahead, leave it. That would be my first hire, you know? And so I did that.
How'd that work out for you?
It's still I'm still working through it.
You know, it is a challenge. My older son has said if my wife and I decided to work full time together, we'd end up divorced because it's, you know, we work together,
mm-hmm.
but we both have jobs. And so we only, you know, a lot of time we're coming and going, you know, on the business side. And so to spend that much time and then go home, and I have trouble turning off the business. I don't know if you're like that. I have trouble turning it off.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk about it all the time. And she's like, are you going to stop talking? That's why I have a podcast, because I love to talk about this stuff because nobody else will talk in the house to me about it, you know?
Absolutely. That's the same situation I have.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, okay. So
no,
you got your
fact, you know what? Honestly, it's kind of good.
Okay.
It's kind of good. You know, because the thing is you – in your business, and this is why, you know, you've got a good partner, is because she's the yin to your yang, you know, and I've got a yin to my yang. And if both of us were accelerators and neither one of us was to break, we would just be spinning out of control. So it's frustrating, but at the same time, it is very necessary. And part of the reason why I am as successful as I am is because I have that other component, which is totally opposite of me.
And he's the one who's pushing you for your health, right? I see in Facebook out there, you're really working hard on your health and you know, things like that. That's what happens in my house. You know, that's where that balance comes in a lot. Like, hey, that's great, but let's go to the gym. Let's go out to eat. And we're not going to that fast food place or whatever. We're going to go out and eat something decent. So you're right. That's a great point. I love that. The accelerator and the brake. That's a great visual tool. Okay. So you've now got an employee. You have a partner and an employee. And now you're moving forward.
Yeah, we're moving.
And now you got to support two on your side.
Yeah, you know, and I think that was a motivating factor for me to grow rapidly. So it was like, okay, I've got two incomes that we've got to cover. And so we've got to really amp things up. And so we moved out of the small, you know, flips into some really big stuff. So we were doing laptops and desktop computers, and that was a lot of capital. I mean, we were flipping a lot of money at that time.
So you spent a lot, but you would make a lot, right? So you know, a 30% margin on $1,000 items a lot better than the 30% on a, you know, $10 item, right? So,
exactly.
So you were selling fewer items, but probably making more money.
A lot more.
A lot more.
Yeah.
And
I'm just thinking about it like, man, God, for those days again, I would kill it now.
Well, especially knowing what you know now.
Yeah,
I mean, how exactly. You can, oh, man, it is crazy.
Yeah.
And so how long did that last while you were still – were you still only on eBay at that point? Had you started to dabble in Amazon now that it's starting to come around?
I mean, there was no Amazon at that point.
Okay, still
so,
eBay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I remember Christmas of that year. I would say it was it had to be 2004. Maybe it was 2005, one or two. But Christmas of that year, we were making so much capital. And let me just clarify something, okay? And I want to clarify this because you guys might be out there in the world. You'll see people on Facebook posting bullshit about, you know, here's how much we sold and here's our chart. I could care less how much you sell. Amazon sells billions of dollars worth of shit, and they barely make a profit. So
yeah,
it's
just
not
the last
about
2 years.
Yeah, it's not about how much anybody sells. It's about how much you keep. But the key thing was we were selling so much in volume that PayPal, they started taking a look at us. And they literally shut our account down because our volume was going so crazy. It had amped up so much. You know how we always get these hockey sticks during Christmas? So December 19th, I'll never forget the day, December 19th, PayPal shut our account down and wouldn't let anybody pay us.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was that was the worst day of my life.
And you're sitting on boatloads of inventory.
I'm sitting on boatloads of inventory. Not only that, I've got all these people waiting to check out. You know, they can't pay me for their product. These platforms, you know, are based on performance. So it's like if I don't get this stuff paid for and they don't get their stuff, they're going to give me negative feedback. That feedback can stack up, all of this crap, man. So, man, I remember scrambling. I had to get my mother to open up a PayPal account. and take the payments. And I had to send them, everybody, I had to send them emails, you know, saying this is the checkout link you need to use. But just think about this, you know, this is 11 years ago. It's not we're not as communicative as we were, you know, as we are today back then. So
you're using dial-up.
Huh?
You're using dial-up.
Yeah. A lot of people are using dial-up. A lot of people,
AOL was still around.
I remember we had already gotten – did we have dial-up? I don't remember. Oh, my God. 2004, I guess.
AOL was still around. Remember that? AOL.
Yeah, when they used to send out the discs.
Yep, that's what it was.
Oh, my God.
That's the time.
Yeah, you're right. We were on dial-up at this time. Oh.
So I just – and nobody knew what – really, nobody knew what email really was. I mean, it was just getting started, you know, and it just barely getting started, right?
Yeah, I mean, it had been around – but everybody was used to a very specific eBay experience, you know, and anything outside of eBay's experience, everybody felt like it was a possible scam. So it's like, if I'm not paying through the regular checkout and I'm asking them to pay through another, it was just crazy.
So you were able to get through that, though, and is that, you know, is that your consulting experience and dealing with your project management, your ability to get through those things, or is that a natural skill set that you have where you can just tackle a problem? Are you not intimidated by it? I mean, are you just – some people curl up in a ball and suck their thumb, right?
Yeah.
You were able to get through it.
I think it's a little bit of both. Definitely it's part of my natural skill set. I don't freak out on many things. But also, like you said, in my consulting experience, part of what we would do is I would get on a project and have to ramp up immediately based on the last person's, you know, information. And then you'd move to another project and you'd move to another project. So I was always in that mode of going from, you know, really from fire to fire to fire and being the guy to put it out. So I was pretty much used to, you know, crazy management, you know.
Running around putting out fires. Okay, so what I want to do is take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you transitioned into the communications world, right? You've really traveled. You've spoke to tens of thousands of people. And I'm really excited to talk about that. So let's take a quick break. We're right back.
Excited to bring on a new sponsor today, YourSourcedInventory.com. That's YourSourcedInventory.com, where they focus on shoes and clothing, great gated categories, high average selling price. Remember that high average selling price with a good return of investment means more profit in your pocket. Here's some stats they sent me for September. In shoes, they averaged the top 2%, average rank of 7,000, net profit of almost $30 with an ROI of 89%. Those are good numbers. Clothing, top 2 to 3%, average rank was 4,000. $1,132, net profit of about $12, and ROI, again, of 104%. Those are great. These are online deals that are sent to you 5 days a week. You get 10 items a day. You're going to be able to grow your business from the comfort of your home. This is exactly what we needed for our business. It's the reason we're using them. So we think this is a great way that you can move forward in a great category. YourSourcedInventory.com. YourSourcedInventory.com. Told you get jazzed. I mean, he is something else. What I really like about this segment is we get into business, and I know that's why we're all here, but we get into the lifestyle business, and we start talking about life. And, you know, both John and I are about the same age. I thought I was a little bit older, but about the same age. And we start talking about lifestyle, right? Everybody wants this lifestyle business. Well, you've got to be around to enjoy that lifestyle, and you really have to start taking care of all your life, your health, your mind, your body, all those things are related. And then your business, you can't have one without the other. And I think that's really what John talks about in this segment that drove it home for me. So let's get back into the podcast.
And we're back, and we're talking with John Lawson, who you got to have Beyonce on when you introduce John. I mean, it's just, I think it's like a rule of anybody's house. But I just got to do that for you, John.
I mean,
come on. How many do that? How many people do that? You're my only one I've done that for.
I love it.
Jay Baines always like, Steve, you need to get some smooth jazz. You got that smooth jazz voice. You need to change your music. I'm like, I don't know. Okay, so we went through the eBay experience, and you've had a great experience. I mean, you've run into some pretty serious issues, but you've had a very successful business. When did you decide that you don't want to be in the product-only selling business? You'd like to sell information.
Well, you know what? I'm still trying to decide that, honestly.
Oh, okay.
I mean, really, so, I've not been a big information seller. You know, I don't have – you're not going to go out and find the John Lawson course anywhere. I do live training, you know, and I do consulting or coaching rather. But
And you have a book. You have a book.
Yeah, I did write a book, didn't I?
That's you true. Did.
I sure did.
I bought that book, as a matter of fact, yeah.
It's a pretty good book.
It's a pretty good book.
It's a pretty good book, I have to admit. But somebody made me write that. I didn't even want to write that, you know. I mean, I did an interview like this, basically – with a guy named Brad, and Brad and Deb, they write a lot of e-commerce blog posts for different companies. And they were doing a blog post one day, and they wanted to talk to a large seller on the platforms of eBay and Amazon. And they were going around and interviewing a bunch of different people. So they set up an interview with me, and you know, we were supposed to do this short interview, and it ended up lasting over an hour. You know, and they're like, dude, we really enjoyed talking to you, blah, blah, blah. And I got a letter from him then he said at the end of that, he said, John, you should write a book. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, and they've written 22 books at the time. I think they've probably written more. Right. And so I was like, well, if you help me get a, you know, deal, I'd probably be interested one day. That's what I told him. And then the actual article came out. And I've done a lot of interviews. I mean, I've done interviews with the New York Times, Washington Post, you know, all the majors. And when I read what the people write, it doesn't ever sound like me. But when I read this article from them, this blog post, I was like, wow, they really got my voice. They, you know, and so it was something about that made me say, look, if your wife, because she's the one that did all the writing, you know, he did the interview, she does the writing. I was like, if your wife co-authors with me, I'd be interested in doing a book. And they said yes, and the rest is history.
No kidding. Well, now that you've made it to the big time, you know, on the E-Commerce Momentum podcast, I mean, things are really going to take off.
Now,
for
there
your
you
career.
Go.
I mean, yeah, this is going to be – this is your moment. This is your cotillion. This is the big moment in your life.
I'm so happy.
No, I'm so happy. You know, when I read your bio and I think about what you've been able to do, you know, traveling that much, 24 countries, it says, tens of thousands of business leaders, and you're talking to entrepreneurs, but you're also talking to business leaders, right? Big companies. Does that get old in any way for you, or are you still enjoying it?
No, I still enjoy it. I mean, the only thing that gets old is hurry up and wait, because that's part of the travel. You know, it's like, I got to be at the airport. You get there and you're waiting because the flight's delayed or, you know, things like that. That part gets old. But other than that, I like all the other parts.
Well, you had the same Uber experience we did in Chicago. We won't. We had the same guy. Ours was a $150 error. You got out at least and handled it. Ours was it was ridiculous.
They are crazy. You mean it's not the Uber experience? It was the cab experience.
It was the cab experience.
Yes.
You could get an Uber, but that's intentional. You know that was set up intentionally to do that to us. So you're now on the tour. How much are you traveling?
I think this year, 2015, I think I did 25 dates. So, I mean, that's, yeah.
And how many days are you going for each one of those on average? Two or three?
Yeah, two or three. Depends. I mean, if they're international, then it's longer, you know.
Yeah, but that's two a month. So you're
right.
Almost gone 1 or 2 weeks a month pretty much, right?
Pretty much. But, I mean, you think about it, like November, December, January is usually nothing. And then like June and July June and July are kind of slow. So it's like, you know, most of that is compacted in about 8 months of the year.
Okay. So you're traveling even more than that. That's intense. What's happened to the business while you're gone?
It has done some suffrage in terms. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. We'll talk about that.
Well, you know, I'm not the I'm the visionary of the company, you know? And so while things will still continue to chug along, the way e-commerce moves, it moves so rapidly that you have to always be watching the bouncing ball. And so when the bouncing ball, you know, goes off track a little bit, it requires my actual attention. And if I'm not attending to it, you know, then it just doesn't do as great as it always does. And I know
What would John, the consultant, say? You know, if he came in and looked at your business, what would he tell you to do?
Systems. You know?
So are you the mechanic whose car is broken down in the driveway, or the carpenter with the you know, the shingles falling off the? Is that you?
Absolutely. I'm the. Mm-hmm. I am the. I tell everybody I'm the hairdresser that's got a messed up hairdo. You know, and it's because you spend so much time, you know, telling people what to do, studying the industry and all that, that when it comes to your own business, not only do you, you know, have trouble with, you know, doing the implementation, but there's an old saying that a prophet is not received in his own household. So mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm talking about to my partner.
I understand, but I mean, I do. I understand. You know, my warehouse is a disaster right now. I mean, it's complete disaster. You know, and we're pounding out the material, but it is a mess.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, yeah, I should clean it. I interviewed Dan Miller, and Dan Miller said his office is sacred to him. It is spotless. It is perfect. He would not work in any other environment. He needs it to be perfect.
I love that.
I do too, and I keep thinking back to it. I feel so guilty that I haven't taken his advice, like, Steve, get your act together.
Yeah.
And I guess sometimes I thrive in the chaos too a little bit. Is that you?
I do thrive in the chaos, but I'm really starting to learn to be a little bit more disciplined in not allowing myself to just let everything just keep going.
Is that part of your personal life too? As I mentioned, you're working on your health, and you're taking that kind of whole life approach.
Yeah, I'm changing. I mean, I'm at that stage. I mean, I'm 50 years old now, and that's like, it made me stop and change everything.
Okay, so talk about that for a second.
because
you know what? I just think about this. I'm watching. I'm the same age,
uh-huh.
And I'm watching guys younger than us dropping dead, and yeah. I'm thinking to myself, what is going on? Or I know 12 people right now with cancer. I personally know 12
wow.
people with cancer. And it's like, really? We're in Pennsylvania. We're not far from Three Mile Island. And I don't think all these people got cancer from that. I think it's, you know, lifestyle. I don't know what it is. But it scares the heck out of you, especially when you hit 50 and you're watching these people. I saw guys a bit today's paper, 59 years old. I'm like,
right.
That's less than 9 years away, man. That's kind of freaky, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I here's the deal. I have my father is a boxing coach, and he has not eaten a piece of meat since the 1970s, okay? He was always a jogger. He had to stop jogging because his knees got bad, but he still walks. He's, like I said, he's a trainer. And we were going up to see my brother, and my brother lived on the third floor of this apartment building. And here I am, and I remember I guess I was like 47, and he had to be, because he's going to be 80, so he had to be like, you know, 76, 77. And we're walking up the steps, and he's like, don't hold the handrail, and he's jogging up the steps, and I'm looking at him, and we get to the top, and I'm like out of breath, straight up, trying to hide it, you know, and I'm like, wow, there is a difference between him and the people he graduated school with. They're
yeah.
all the same age, but his existence, his lifestyle makes his life at that age completely different than everybody else. And the only thing he did different, in my opinion, is he took care of his body. So that was a wake-up call for me.
So he's existing while others are subsisting, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And so he doesn't look like the typical 77-year-old
uh-uh.
at that point or anything like that, right?
Uh-uh. Not at all, man.
And so is he's a complete vegetarian?
He's a pescatarian, so he eats fish.
Okay. And maintains his weight Pretty just much. No problem? Okay.
Yeah, pretty much, all right. Man, you know.
All right, so now I'm back to you. So you're now making changes in your personal life.
Yeah.
Has it helped your business?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I lost like 87 pounds over the last 2 years.
Oh, and that's a Backstreet Boy. I mean, that's it.
He said a Backstreet Boy. Let me translate that into One Direction for you.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Who's Harry, right? Isn't that the guy with the big hair?
So, I mean, the real deal, I mean, because part of it was somebody had, everybody got coaches. I've got a very good person that I deal with. And one day he just sat down with me and he's like, John, you know, you want to do this speaking thing. You want to do this training thing. You need to get your weight together, you know? And he just told me straight up, man, you need to lose that weight, because it's one thing for you to be on stage and talking and everybody's feeling you and all that. But then there is still something that is holding you back because you're not representing the word that you're speaking. And I was like, wow, you know,
that hits home.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
that's a dagger.
That was hard to hear.
Oh, that's painful. I'm feeling a little pain on that one right there myself. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like your dad, the boxing trainer, being overweight, you know, and trying to train these boxers, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you see that all the time. You can be a coach and not be in shape. I mean, the best.
Well, you could be a coach, but that doesn't mean you're a good coach.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know what I mean? There is some sense to that, you know. And I, you know, as I bring it to where it applies to business, I think, you know, the point I think both of us are trying to make is that you really do have to look at it in its entirety, because the people I talk to, when I generally ask their why, they're looking for a lifestyle business.
Right. Yes. I want to talk to that.
Yeah, let's talk to that, because lifestyle means that you live, right?
I want to talk.
I mean, you got to live.
This is something that is so fundamental to me, okay? Because I have never, ever wanted to have a $10 million a year business, ever. I don't want to have 20 people working for me, ever. I want to be able to have a lifestyle business. My business was put in place so that we did not have to leave the house if we didn't want to, that we could go on a vacation when we wanted to, that we could be there for our daughter's, you know, stuff in school every time we wanted to be there. It was all about supporting the lifestyle. It was not the other way around. And so I want people to understand that success is defined by you, not by anybody else. Don't let anybody else's, quote, numbers, their volume, the size of their company ever sway you into thinking that just because they have that, they're somehow better than you. That's not, it doesn't matter. Some people are great at that, but I never wanted that. Never. I just wanted to be able to live a good life.
I have a great interview coming out later this week, and the gentleman took a pay cut to take the job he's always wanted, the job that's ideal for him and his family. He uses Amazon to supplement his income to make up for it, just enough so he has the level of income. So let's just use, for example, he wants to make 60 grand. Well, he takes this job, and it's the best job ever, 5 weeks vacation, reduced hours in the summer, in and out, at his old university. I mean, just a place where he gets to do everything and live that, you know, that college life again, right? But he had to take a big pay cut. He now sells just enough on Amazon to fill in the gap to bring him to 60 grand. I'm making that up, or 70 grand, whatever
it
is.
Right, right.
And that's it. He's like, yeah, I could do more, Steve. He said, but, you know, that's kind of where I want to be. I'm in that sweet spot right there. And I'm like, dude, you've got it figured out. I've talked to a ton of people who say, well, I had to replace my income. You know, that's what I was doing. I was trying to find, you know, now I'm at a place where I've made my income. Now I want to try to reduce my hours. That's what I usually hear from people. This guy said, no, I found the job that I want. I hope to die in it because I love it so much.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
But I needed to make a little bit of extra money. And so I'm able to use this crazy Amazon business, which I love. And he loves e-commerce because that's what he does, is social marketing. And yet he's still, I mean, I'm like, I sat back and I'm thinking, my God, to be that young and have that figured out where you and I are on the other end. I mean, just it's so cool to see there is a change afoot. I mean, there really is a change, mm-hmm. a generational change, if you take advantage of it. As Gary Vee would say, it's a second industrial revolution. It really is.
It really is. Everything's changed.
Let's talk about that, because that's your whole shtick, right? When we talk about kick-ass social commerce for e-preneurs, not even entrepreneurs, it's e-preneurs.
That's right.
Woo, that's a lot. That's a mouthful.
Don't even ask.
let's just think about this, right? As I mentioned to you offline, I'm talking to successful sellers who were doing amazing things last year, and they're growing. I think the last percentage I've seen, because I track it, is about 74%. That's a little – I haven't let that out yet, but it's about 74% improvement over last year. So these are incredible sellers now doing even more incredible. However, a good number of them are trying to figure a way out to have a C plan. Now, I always say you have to have a B plan. So if you're selling on Amazon, you really need to have an eBay account so you have a B plan. So you have but you got to open it early because they throttle you. You know, there's all those limitations, all the PayPal crap that you talked about. So open one up so you have another place to sell. So if your Amazon account shut down, you could still sell on eBay short term. You don't have to hold the product. You can use Joe Lister. You can have Amazon fulfill for you. Even if Amazon shuts down your account, you could still have them fulfill for you, right? So you have something to keep it coming. And then you can. But now they're saying, you know what, that's good and it's okay, but I really need to find some other place because, A, the fees are killing me or I'm worried all the time. And so they're starting to talk about starting their own e-commerce business. And I know that once you put up a website, people just pour right to it, right? I mean, it's just easy, right? Everybody just says, oh, man, I've been looking for that website for all this time, and it's so easy to find because that's everything. There's only a few out there, right?
Yeah.
That's the premise of your book.
Yeah, right.
That's it in a nutshell, right?
Yeah,
it's
that's
just,
it.
Yeah,
just open up
just push it.
I mean, open,
get one of those staples easy buttons and you just push it, right?
Done
and then
deal.
Magic.
Done deal.
Unicorns.
Everybody that's your Facebook friend will buy from you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I'm in deep trouble. Okay, so talk about it.
I mean, the thing is, you've got to learn to drive your own traffic. The one thing I remember, I got invited to a show. And it was Meva, which is a e-commerce store solution. They have their own conference, you know, a Meva user conference. And I got invited to be the keynote for one of these things. And I'm sitting there, and I really enjoy talking to people before I get on stage, because after I get on stage, everything changes, you know. But when you're like the unknown person and you're just sitting around talking, then people will just chat with you, you know, after you go on stage and people start asking you questions. It's a different dynamic. But so I wasn't on until the next day. So the first day I'm at the conference, I'm sitting around, I'm talking to people at the lunch, and I was astonished because 85% of everybody in that room didn't have an Amazon account, did not have an eBay account. All they knew was e-commerce stores. And I was realizing, I'm like, wow, the deal is if you learn Chinese and your native language is English, Chinese seems hard. But if you're born in China, then Chinese is just your nature. So what's happening is that we see the other side of the fence and we think creating a store and getting traffic and all that seems so hard. And Amazon is just so easy. All I got to do is send it up. I'm like, you know, the deal is that this is where you're born, and so that English seems extremely easy for you, you know? And when you look on the other side, it all looks like Chinese. And the same for these guys. I'm trying to tell them, I'm like, yo, you might want to open up an Amazon store, put some of that product over there. And to them, it's just like, it's really? They need some help. So the deal is, guys, is I find myself trying to master at least one discipline every year, you know, and I'll spend an entire year. People are like, you know, a little bit about this and a lot of that. And the reason why is because I spend time learning about it. And so if there's anything I would tell an Amazon only seller to do or a marketplace only seller to do is take a year and learn how to drive your own traffic to a store. Just do that.
It just makes so much sense. And when you're giving it a year, and I think that's the problem. Nobody will give it a year because we're impatient. Most of the people I talk to are ADHD. They're jumping around. They can't wait. There's something new. Shiny object, right? Now we're doing this over here, and wait, we're doing this. Todd Lammy said the reason he's been so successful in wholesale because he never opened his Facebook account. And so he was able to stay focused on wholesale, and that's all he knows.
I get – ooh, man, that's just gold.
That's what he knows. He's like, I don't even know all the rest of this stuff. Or how about Brandon Dubsky, right? He was a speaker at the same conference you were. You know, he does 80% of his sales on his own private website. Yeah, eBay and Amazon, yeah, they're a little bit because he dabbles a little bit in it, but that's not it, you know? And so because he focuses so much of his attention on that other one, he's able to he was able to master it from eBay, right?
Absolutely.
And so, and he would say he's not the smartest guy in the world. He's just diligent, right? He puts his head down. So if you take and break this down into a 12-month segment and say, you know, I'm going to learn this month, you know, kind of what you were talking about with the budget, going back and planning, you can, in a year, learn more than you're ever going to learn in college, right?
Oh, absolutely. You can get a college education in your car.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're sitting around listening to the hottest new track from, you know, Backstreet Boys, I'm just using that because I know that I want to keep that in your field.
Yeah, keep that image going, thanks.
But, I mean, you know, the deal is inside of your car, you need to be listening to those podcasts, those educational programs. Many of you guys spend a lot of times in your cars driving around town, you know, getting products. You know, that is your education. That's your classroom, you know. And I think a lot of us feel that – just because we're talking about business, we're working. And, you know, that's not the case. Work equals force times distance. There's no other formula for work. That's F times what? F equals work times distance. Wait, work equals force times distance. My brain is on.
That's all right. You got it. Right?
But work equals force times distance. If you're not moving forward, you're not working. So there's no work anybody's doing on Facebook. None. Now, if you take what you learn from Facebook and apply it, and all of a sudden your sales go up, okay, now you've done work. So I find a lot, and this is, you know, like I said, I do a lot of consulting with people. Like, the first thing you got to do is turn that Facebook off, which sounds horrible for me because I use it all the time. But
right. I mean, I know that's what you do.
You got to regulate your social media use because it's we call it networking, but I call it not working.
Love it. So the average listener is going to be an Amazon seller. What's your advice? So your advice is to, hey, go and learn the e-commerce world.
Yeah.
Right? Because selling on Amazon is not the e-commerce world, right? It's putting barcodes on and sending a product to a channel that they tell you.
Let me make it clear. It's a portion of it. It's a portion of the e-commerce world.
Okay.
But the e-commerce world, the e-commerce atmosphere is so much bigger.
It really is. That's what Brandon said. He really grew when he went to the Inc. 500 conference, and he's like, oh, my God, it's so much bigger than eBay and Amazon, and that's when he exploded. And he's like, I finally figured it out.
Yeah.
By seeing that the pond is a lot bigger, because otherwise you're just seeing this little alcove, right, if I guess we can use that as a visual aid.
Yeah.
So you're saying, hey, Mr. Amazon seller, take next year, put yourself through a course on e-commerce. Where do they start, John? What's the place? Do they start with your book? I mean, where do they start?
Well, I'd love you to go ahead and buy the book, of course, but no.
And I'll put a link there.
I think the first thing you want to learn how to do is to build a store, you know? So figure out, get a platform and build a store and just do it and start putting, you know, some product up and try to drive traffic to it. All right. Now, the other thing I want people to start doing is really start pulling back and stacking cash, you know, because I know a lot of us, and this is, I did the same thing, is I kept putting all of my money back in inventory. And what happens is the rainy day fund gets ignored. And trust me, there's a rainy day coming for all of us.
Yeah, it's going to rain. That's why they make umbrellas for a reason.
Right. I mean, we're on that roller coaster ride and it's going downhill rapid. Woo. We're like, yeah. Amazon, woo! FBA, woo! At some point, we got to go back uphill. You know? So you want to be prepared for that. Prepare for, you know, unintended circumstances. Because if I would have done that, thought about that the way I should have at that time of my life, I would have probably been way ahead of the game. So definitely make sure that part of that capital you keep and put it away in a safe place.
Love it. So smart. And so, you know, I always use this as a foundational discussion, right? I always say, look at, you know, picture you're building a house, right? You're putting those blocks in place. And when you put those blocks down and you say, okay, you need this amount of money, right? Or, you know, or the old, hey, pay yourself first model, right? Put $10 away for every $100 that comes in, and that's your rainy day fund. And you build and build and build, and it's not inventory. I think your advice, you could buy right now. Andy Slamon sent me a note. He's out there dropping cash by the bucket. He's like, Steve, there's no stopping it. This is the best year ever. It's inventory is everywhere, and it is. But there is a limit. You really do want to find a place to sit back because, you know, let's say a storm comes through and shuts all the internet down for whatever, you know, something silly, right? It could happen. And then what? Right? Nobody puts risk into their formula. They only build these businesses. Oh, I bought it. It's going to sell. Well, sometimes it doesn't sell. You have to build that risk in. And so think of those foundational blocks. And that's really kind of your advice.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I have an old saying about, you know, my short-term investments pay for my long-term investments, and my long-term investments pay me. So I see so many people eating their seed right now, you know?
Oh, ooh, that's a – hey, man, you're getting some biblical stuff. So they're eating their seed.
Yeah. I mean, you can't eat all of your seed. You got to plant some of that back in the ground, or you won't have a crop next year.
Preach it, preach it.
Yeah, I'm not a preacher, but it's so true.
Man, I'm telling you, it's good.
It's so true.
So you got this foundation going, and now I want to roll into your book real quick, you know, and just I don't want to miss it because it was a great book, and it really, it's so timely because that audience, you talk about gathering and collecting an audience. What will you do with your audience? What do you suggest others do with their audience?
Well, I mean, the thing is, let's say you build an audience around your product base. Then ultimately, you want to sell to that audience. And you want to get a list of people. I think the whole concept of kick-ass social commerce, and if you really tear the book apart, the main thing really is you want to get the social, which is at the top of your funnel, to feed into the email list. And once you get an email list, when you understand how to use the emails of people, it becomes a channel for income so that you can send out an email and expect a return on that every time you send it out. So I think that is very, very key to how we use our social platform. You build an audience, you get them to buy in to your messaging. You get their email address, you start that conversation with them, and every once in a while, you give them an opportunity to spend money with you.
You give them the fortunate opportunity to spend money.
They're going to want to spend money with you.
They're going to want to. You know, it's funny. Today, you start thinking about, right, Amazon and eBay, and Amazon being the big dominant place to sell right now. But you know Pinterest is coming, and it's coming quick. My wife, she spends, I would say, you know, 50% of her internet time on Pinterest.
Wow.
Ooh, I'm pinning this. I'm doing this. I'm like, man, what is all this stuff? Or she's making all these crazy recipes. Oh, where'd you get it? Oh, Pinterest, somebody posted it and blah, blah, blah. It's really interesting to start watching these other markets start to develop. And I think we're seeing some of them start to bubble up as they start, even Facebook, right? Now you can sell on Facebook.
Yeah,
and
Instagram.
I think that's Facebook. Right, so having that now and getting that ready and being at the forefront, right? You don't have to go and do a Shopify site, right? You can use one of these other Instagram or whatever to sell.
Yes.
Would you recommend that? You know, if you think, I'm sitting there thinking about that. Would you recommend that if rather than going out and try to learn WordPress and all the rest of that jazz, there are a lot of easy solutions out there. And I always use Shopify because it's just an easy word. You know, there's a million shopping cart websites, right? But these new ones, if you were going to invest, let's look forward for John, right? John's starting out ready to make his move into some other, not his own site. He's thinking, what should I do? What product would you start up with if you were starting fresh?
Oh,
well, and this is John the consultant, not John the practitioner. How about that?
Okay, so if I'm just getting started.
Well, you've already been selling on Amazon. Things are going well, and you're saying, hey, I want to get out and on my own. I'm ready to branch out on my own.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say Shopify at this point.
Okay. Okay, you're still saying that that's the way to go is a standalone website.
Oh,
and then
okay,
just...
I see what you're saying. I would probably end up, because I'd be younger, for one, and I would figure out where my crowd is.
You'd be skinnier, right? You'd be skinnier, younger.
I'd be skinny, young.
A couple inches taller, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you want to find out where the buyers hang out before you do anything. You know, who are the people that are purchasing your products and where are they most likely to be at? So if it's like your wife and she's my target audience and they're all on Pinterest and I can create a pin that would lead to I don't even need a freaking here. Okay, here's the deal. I got it now.
Okay,
I had to think about
it.
This. We are all moving away from the actual, and this is going to be controversial, but you know what? Who cares? I am a thought leader. I'm telling you, we are moving away from the store environment. We're moving to the landing page environment. And that means that a good landing page with a buy button is all you need to sell a product today. We're not running
around. The landing page is grouped. So are you putting all your teapots on a landing page?
No, you put one teapot on the page.
Okay, one product per page.
Unless they are, if they go together, I get it,
Or if they're different, one's red, one's blue.
Yeah, one red,
right.
Blue,
okay.
All that.
All right,
yes.
So, but per, not SKU, but per product, you're saying one landing page per product with a checkout right on that, a buy button right there.
Yeah, I'm saying that's the easiest way to get started.
You think that's the future?
It definitely is the future. The future is here.
Software that you would recommend then for that landing page?
WordPress.
Okay, so you're building a simple one-page WordPress site, boom, with the buy button.
I mean, if you think about a website started off as a single page.
Right.
And then the grouping of the single pages are how you got to a store. The thing is that now people don't come in to your store just by a single page. I mean, by going to that home page. That's the way it was years ago. Now,
and they'd scroll through, right? They'd look through, let me look through page 362. Oh, yeah, here's 363, right? They're not doing that.
Yep, exactly. They're not looking to just sit around on your website all day long. They already have looked for what they want to buy in, Google. And they've checked the price on Amazon, they've checked the price on eBay, and they're going to go and check the price on your site. And if they don't like what they see on that page, they leave. They're not going to browse around looking for other stuff. So that's why I say the power of a page is very, it's very today.
We're used
to that landing page.
Is there an optimal, remember this is the younger, taller, better looking John Lawson that we're talking about, right? He's creating this page. Is it a product cost that you would recommend? If you're going to stand out and you're going to do all this per product, are we looking for the $50 product? I mean, if you're going out and starting over again, right? Is that what you want to do? If you're going to, you might as well optimize for that. Is there an optimum point that you would recommend?
I mean, when you say the price of the product?
Yeah, the retail price of the product. Let's assume a Keystone markup, right? Because one cool thing is the fees are going to be so much lower, right? Because, you're going to have a cost for the landing page. You're going to have to host it. You're going to have some little bit of cost.
Right.
But when it sells, you're going to be basically paying a merchant fee. I mean, that's really all it's going to be. And so, if you can, let's just say it's a $50 item and you bought it for $25. Your fees as a percentage are minuscule, right? As opposed to like Amazon taking a third or eBay taking a quarter or whatever. So is there a price that you would recommend that you could get in? And just if you're starting out again, remember, we're looking for an optimal business here.
No, not really. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't.
But you're not going to sell $2 items.
Dude, I sell $5 items.
Okay.
You know, okay. And I went deep into $5. I've sold all kinds of items, all different prices. So it doesn't really matter. What you want is something that you know you can sell, that people are going to keep coming back, you got a good audience, and that you can make a good amount of money on. So if I see a lot of people, they've got all these products, you know, and at some point you need to sit down and find your 80-20.
Yeah, the 80-20, yep,
right? Absolutely. And then out of that, you want to pick the one that looks the best, that's going to convert the best, and start with that single product.
At Pareto Principles, 80% of your results come from 20% of your effort, 20% of your products, whatever it is, right?
Yep, 80-20, always.
Okay, so now I love what you're saying. I love it. I think what you're saying is smart. Hey, create a landing page per product, especially if you got hot products and you know that you – especially if you have private label products, I mean, even better,
yeah.
Right? Even better, right? Now that's where your book comes in, and that's how you start to drive audience there, right? Is that what your specialty is?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Dude, I'm telling you, you've taken me in new thoughts. Now, you know, every time I talk to people, you know, it just blows my mind. That's really what the podcast is for me to learn, right? I love it. I love talking about it, but I'm just – every time I get off, I usually buzz upstairs and my wife's like, oh, God, here you go again, and I can't get to sleep because I'm so jazzed. I go up there. I am jazzed from these things. And this has just taken my thought process so much further than I ever thought it would be. You know, you got some knowledge there, dude. You got some mad skills. I'm really impressed. Yeah, yeah. But you're still, you know, older, not as tall, and not as good.
I mean,
those things. You can't remember that was imaginary. We got to come back to real life. John, I'm going to, you know, put connections to your book. And what's the best way that people can follow you and find out more information about you? And more importantly, if they need help as they try to develop that audience. I agree with you. You have to have an audience. You have to build a following, and collecting that information is key. What's the best way?
Just go to Google and type in Colder Ice, one word. You'll find me.
Colder Ice.
Yep.
Man. Unbelievable. Great stuff. I can't wait to see you. I'm sure you'll be at one of the events I'll be going to this year. I think I've got 4 already lined up for next year.
Awesome.
Man, I just appreciate you taking the time tonight and wish you nothing but a happy Thanksgiving, a great Christmas, and a great new year.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care. I told you it was a great interview. You know, think about, you know, he has spoken in front of tens of thousands of people, 24 countries, 4 continents, and he's just really getting started. So, you know, what I like about John the most is his approachability. Next time you're at a conference and he's a speaker, go talk with him. Sit down. Have breakfast with him. Just pick his brain. Talk about your business. Talk about his business and see how you can help each other. And he is so approachable. So you can find out more on the E-Commerce Momentum podcast website, just ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.